May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one and to whom we are baptized. Amen. Our text is the Gospel from Mark 10 and the Old Testament reading from Genesis. Talk about marriage today. Let us pray. Lord, grant us all the Holy Spirit as we gather around your holy word. We pray for understanding. We pray for great faith in Christ, for repentance and strength. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We know that Cordys are now married 57 years. Who else here has been married 50 plus years? We congratulate all of you. 50 plus years of marriage. Who's been married 25 to 50 years? Somewhere in there. We congratulate you, 25 to 50 years. Great example. It's a great example. 10 to 25 years. Ann and I lie in that area. You're not quite 10 yet. You don't know much today, do you? LWML? All right. Getting close. How about newlyweds Chris and Rose? We got Jennifer and Scott being married here in a couple weeks. On up to 10 years. Who's been married 0 to 10? We can congratulate them too. A few of you here. You guys are probably still holding hands in the pew, am I right? And we allow that, Pat, holding hands in the pew? Yes, certainly. Marriage, a wonderful gift of God that He gives back at the time of creation. Whether we're married 50 years, 25 years, 1 year, how can marriage, quite frankly, in today's world last until death do us part? And how can it be a happy marriage, a God-pleasing marriage, a fulfilling marriage? How can that ever really happen? Again, in today's world. From the Gospel, from the Old Testament, I want to share with you four things needed for marriage. As our Lord tells us, there's many books written about marriage. There's much counseling about marriage, and much of it's good, some of it's probably not so good. What does our Lord say about marriage? Four things needed. You might want to rate your marriage 1 to 10 on these things. First of all, as I read the words of Christ in Mark 10, one thing needed for marriage is softness. It's a hard one for me. Man and woman, husband and wife, need to have soft hearts. Doesn't Jesus say that the whole reason God allowed divorce to begin with, Moses allowed it, was because of the hardness of your heart? Because your hearts are hard. By implication then, for there to be a happy marriage, you need to keep your heart soft. A contrite heart, a humble heart, a soft heart, a heart that will go through every pain and agony for the sake of the other. With a soft heart, you can say something that's hard to say. It's very hard for me to say these words. I am sorry. Those of us married a long time, we all know that you can diffuse a fight real quick in marriage if someone sincerely says, I am sorry. I am wrong. I apologize. That's a soft heart. You have a hard heart when you never can say you're sorry, you never can say you're wrong. And it leads to disaster, doesn't it? Or on the other side of that, soft heart means you can say, I forgive you. You have a soft heart. You've hurt me terribly, but I forgive you. I love you. I won't count it against you. But a hard heart says, I'm going to hold it against you forever. A hard heart brings it up over and over again in marriage. You did that back 10 years ago, 5 years ago, did it again today. A hard heart is one that's resentful, an angry heart. You hold a grudge. May the Lord give us soft hearts, contrite hearts. May the Holy Spirit work that in us. It's needed for marriage and all of life, for that matter. I was driving, I believe, to school the other day here, and I heard a story of a couple that had a fight. It was a news story. They were having an argument. And you know what the lady did in her great anger towards her husband? You know what she did? Talk about holding a grudge or having anger. I guess the couple in happier days of the marriage had some goldfish. And the man especially liked the goldfish. You know what the lady did to his goldfish? She fried them and she ate them. And the police were called, but the police couldn't do anything because it's okay to fry your goldfish and eat them. I would say to the lady, isn't it easier just to forgive? Isn't it easier just to forgive than fry up goldfish and eat them? You holding the grudge? Bitter, hard heart. May the Spirit give us soft hearts. Saying I love you is important in marriage, but I say often at a wedding service, other very important three words are I am sorry, as mentioned, and I forgive you. It's called confession absolution. We do it in church. That's how we come back to God. I'm sorry, God, and God says, I forgive you. May that happen in marriage and our families. I'm sorry, I forgive you. Confession absolution every day, several times a day. It works. Secondly, for a happy marriage, there needs to be seriousness. A soft heart and a serious mind. What do I mean by that? I mean that we always got to realize, and I believe we all know this, but we got to ever take it to heart, especially when there's problems in marriage, that marriage is not just a man-made agreement. It's not a human contract between two people that if I'm not happy, I'll get out of the contract. It's not a man-made agreement or contract. It's not just a piece of paper. But marriage is the very union of God Himself. And that is the point of Jesus in the gospel lesson. Jesus says, what God has joined together, let man not put asunder. This is the union of God Himself. Take it seriously. Those couples that don't get a divorce. And by the way, if you're divorced, don't despair. God forgives. And God loves you. And God forgives. But those couples that don't get a divorce are those that don't have divorce on the table as an option. You're fighting, you're arguing. Take divorce off the table. We're not going to divorce. That's against the will of God. We won't do that. Now let's work on it. Sounds simple, but you put divorce on the table and you just might go there as an option. Seriousness. This is the union of God Himself. How dare I separate that? I want to say this to young people. When you date, you have free will to date who you want. Unless, of course, mom and dad say you can't date so-and-so. But normally, you know, God doesn't just put His finger down and say, this is the person you're going to date and marry. It doesn't happen that way. God gives you the freedom, your own will, to choose who you want to date and go out with, and then who you want to marry. It's all part of your free will and your own decision making. You hope to do it by the glory of God and make a wise decision. That's all in your free will. You can break up now and then. That happens. But when you come before the altar of God and you say your vows, and the pastor says, in the stead of God, you're married. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. What God has joined together, man not separate. That is the union of God Himself. No longer is it about your will. No longer is it about your happiness. Well, he or she doesn't make me happy more. So what? It's the will of God, the union of God. God has brought you together. In the Lutheran church, we don't call marriage a sacrament because it doesn't give forgiveness. It doesn't give you Jesus like your baptism does and communion does today. But marriage is the work of God. Very, very powerful. Take it seriously. Do I really want to break up the work of God? My family knows that I get very nervous and upset if something's missing on Saturday. What would that be? My sermon notes. All right, take it home, and sometimes Ann's cleaning or the kids are cleaning. What I'm talking about, Ann's cleaning, the kids don't clean, but we're cleaning. And Ann may accidentally throw it in the trash or, you know, put it somewhere. Where's my sermon notes? You took my sermon notes. Where are they at? And Ann might say, it's just a piece of paper. She doesn't say that. But that's my time and my effort. Prayer, time, and effort into that piece of paper. I need it. And marriage, to a much higher degree, marriage isn't a piece of paper. It is the time and effort of the Almighty God and His great wisdom and love joining two lives together that they are so close, they are one flesh. That's how close you are in the eyes of God. You're one person to God. So men, look at your wife, and even though she may cry and get all emotional at times, she's a gift of God. You're glued to her. Even though she may nag you at times, she's a gift of the Almighty God. You're joined to her by God Himself. Even though, fellas, sometimes she's not in the mood, okay? She is a gift of the Almighty God. You're glued to her. And ladies, look at your husband. Even though he may want to watch sports all weekend and doesn't want to do anything with you, that's me. He is a gift of God. You're glued to him. even though he may be insensitive and just doesn't know your emotions and your feelings and can't talk to you about all that, he is a gift of the Almighty God. God has glued him to you. You're together. You're one flesh. Ladies, even though he may leave the toilet seat up, or he may snore at night, oh my, he's a gift of the Almighty God. You're glued by his love, by his great power. Softness, seriousness. Thirdly, required for marriage is great, great daily sacrifice. Giving, 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 serving, serving, serving. Marriage is not taking. It is serving, sacrificing. This is again, all these things are very hard. That's why I'm getting to point number four soon here. Sacrifice. And this is the lesson God teaches Adam and Eve right off the bat. Go back to creation now, Genesis. How does God make Eve? God in his great power could have just spoke, Eve, let there be Eve. Here's Eve. He did that with the animals and the plants. But rather, God has Adam sacrifice that he might have a wife. He puts Adam into a deep sleep. Lie down, Adam. And the deep sleep in the Hebrew can almost imply death. In a way, God, we might say, gets close to killing Adam. You're going to die to have a wife. You're going to give up something. Your very rib. There's going to be surgery on you, Adam. You're going to sacrifice and hurt and have pain to have a wife. It's a lesson. You're her servant, Adam. Lay down your life for her, Adam. Sacrifice everything for her, Adam. It's a model of Christ's love for the church, you see. It's a great model of how Jesus went into a deep sleep called death on Good Friday. And from his side came not a rib, but blood and water. Baptism, the water, communion, the blood, and from that comes forth the church. We're the Eve. Christ got his wife through sacrifice and love and death, service. And so, men, love your wives as Christ loved the church. You don't have a crown on your head. I'm king, I'm dictator, honey. Do it because I say so. You have an apron on. You serve. And you serve. And ladies, notice what Eve is called. What does God call Eve? Does God say, I'm going to make a queen for Adam? To rule over him and be his queen and tell him what to do? No. I'm going to make another mother for Adam. He needs a mother. No, I'm going to make a helper. A helper. Which implies servanthood. Sacrifice. Giving. And the flow of this is from the man to the woman. The man sacrifices first. He lays down his life. And the woman follows just like Christ in the church. When Eve was alive, what's the first thing? When Eve looked at her husband, what was Adam doing when Eve looked at him? He's sleeping. Not sleeping, he was dead. And she probably saw the scar. This man sacrificed a lot to have me. He gave me his very side that I might be here. I will love him and be with him the rest of our days. And this is the model for marriage. The man lays down his life, serves, and the woman responds with love and thankfulness. All modeled by Christ in the church. Marriage isn't really 50-50. It's really not. I've always said God lays more on the man. God lays more on the man. It's 60-40, fellas, in my opinion. The man serves first. He gives. The wife follows. I ask couples that are going to get married, premarital counseling, why do you want to get married? One of the first questions, why do you want to get married? And what do they say? We're in love. Well, that'll end quick, probably. No, just kidding. Or, he makes me happy. She makes me laugh. We're best friends. Those aren't bad answers. I shouldn't mock them. They're fine answers. But it's very selfish. You get married because the other person makes you happy? That's called selfishness. So when they don't make you happy, you can divorce them because you don't make me happy anymore. Because life's all about me and whether you make me happy or not. You don't get married because the other person makes you happy. You get married to make the other person happy. It's called giving, serving. I knew I loved my wife, Ann, when we were in college. And I wanted to get her a gift, a shirt or some piece of clothing. And I actually, as a college student with no money, went into a department store, a women's store, and shopped. With all the other ladies watching me saying, what's he doing here? I was in love. Go through every shame and embarrassment because I want to give. That leads to point number 4, the most important point of all. Marriage indeed needs softness and seriousness and sacrifice. But above all, what husband and wife need is a Savior. And praise be to God, we have a Savior in Jesus Christ. We men, we don't have soft hearts very often. We don't sacrifice like we should. We're lazy, we're selfish. But don't despair. Don't give up. Don't quit. There is forgiveness in the blood of Jesus for all sin. Whatever it is, there's forgiveness. A fresh start today. Jesus died for our sins, men. As a husband, as a father, whatever we do, there's forgiveness. Start anew today. And ladies, you feel guilty. You're not soft. You hold a grudge. You don't serve and sacrifice and thank your husband. There's forgiveness. A brand new start today for husband and wives at the cross of Jesus. He died for my wife. He died for me. He died for the whole world. There's grace and forgiveness and mercy. We can start anew because of the cross of Jesus. We have a Savior. Scale of 1 to 10, maybe you're a 2 on softness, a 3 on servanthood. A scale of 1 to 10, the Savior's a billion. He's off the charts because there's always forgiveness and grace. You know, people say they need family time. I agree. You need family time, couple time. It's very good. Maybe realize the best couple time is not going to the beach. The best couple time is coming to get the body and blood of Jesus. Depart in peace, husband and wife. You're forgiven. Now go love each other. The best couple time is not going to Gatlinburg and the mountains. It's fine. Better couple time is coming to Mount Calvary, called the church, and receiving the grace of God abundant here in word and sacrament. That's what you do as a couple. The best family time is not going for a walk. That's a good thing to do, go for a walk. But better family time is worshiping your God, singing together, praying together, hearing the word together, going to Bible class together, communion together. This is your family time. This is your husband and wife time. It's right here. The best thing, because here is Christ, our Lord. His love glues us, joins us, overflows through us to each other. You know, you have super glue. What's the one thing you don't want to do is super glue? You don't want to get it on your hands, do you? Don't get it on your hands. You just stick together. Oh, no, it's on me. Oh, no. Christ is the super glue of marriage. Christ is the super glue of marriage. May you get him all over you. Be immersed in Christ. Be filled with Christ. May he stick us together forever. How can marriage last? Mertz would agree, wouldn't you? Cordes would agree. 50 plus years. Fantastic. Franklin's. Softness of heart. Seriousness of mind. We're not going to get a divorce. It's God's will. It's his union. Sacrifice daily. Serve. And above all, we have a Savior. Worship him. Learn of him. Eat of him. May God bless our marriages and all those yet to come at First Lutheran. Amen. We rise.